Our scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews. Let us listen for the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary nor lose heart. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Today is All Saints Sunday, and it's a Sunday here at Foundry where we invite you to remember those in your life whom you have loved and whom you have lost to death. We do it mostly through music and through ritual and through Holy Communion. Our society is not good at helping us grieve. In our society, you lose someone who leaves a hole in your heart as large as the universe, and we're expected to be back at our desk 3 days later. And the church does not do as good a job as it used to do. And so we at least take this Sunday and encourage you to remember loved ones who you have lost, to listen to the music, and to let the Spirit of God minister to you. We have no applause in this service in the spirit of the morning, but we want our choir, our section leaders and soloists and volunteers, and our orchestra, and Jeffrey Thurston, who serves as our concert master, and Stanley Thurston, who directs the choir, to know how much we appreciate their ministry of music, and want you to consider our silence this morning to be double applause. I hadn't prepared to talk about this, but I'm still moved by a wedding I conducted yesterday. And so I want to say a word about it. Some of you remember that 2 years ago, when marriage equality was passed in Washington, D.C., Foundry Church was struggling to think through how we would respond. We're part of a denomination that officially in the denominational rule book outlaws celebrations of same gender committed relationships, and we didn't know quite what to do about it, and we went through a 5 or 6 month study as a congregation. And some of us had some concern about whether there were legal issues that we needed to pay attention to, whether there was some way that we might put at risk the ownership of our building if we moved in a direction different from the denomination. And there were other questions about what might happen to our clergy. And one of our members arranged for us to receive pro bono services from a very significant and respected Washington, D.C. law firm. And that firm, lawyers in that firm put in hours, I mean thousands and thousands of dollars worth of hours of pro bono work to help us figure out the legal implications of what we were moving toward doing. And then the congregation voted in a large meeting, voted 367-8 to make marriage equality our policy. And so we began practicing marriage equality. A few months ago, I got a phone call from one of the lawyers who was part of the firm who had done all of that pro bono work for us. And he asked me, he was sort of hesitant and a little faltering, and he said, "My partner and I have decided to get married. We're not Methodist. We're not part of your congregation. But we wonder if you might consider doing our wedding." And I said, "Not only will I do your wedding, I'll do your wedding pro bono." So Mike and Greg and I got to know each other over the last several months. And yesterday I performed their wedding. They both come from very, very large, very, very Catholic families. And part of the reason they wanted me to do the wedding is that they didn't want it to be just a civil ceremony. They wanted it to be a holy ceremony. They wanted it to be a ceremony in which they made their promises not to only to each other, but to God. And so for the wedding, I got out my alves and my cinctures and this stole, which I bought in a shop near the Vatican last year when Jane and I were in Rome. And several times during the service, when it felt right, I went like this. And I want to tell you, it was a very, very powerful wedding. I don't think that anybody in the room doubted the presence of God and the presence of Christ in that wedding. I talked to people afterwards who said they had a hard time believing in God anymore, but that they believed God was there yesterday. Very special. And what I want to say most of all is how grateful I am that I get to be part, that I get to be the pastor of a congregation that was willing to make the decision and take the risk of saying that we believe in a God who includes everyone and a God who blesses all love and a God who blesses all commitments. You have no idea. That was your decision, not mine. And you have no idea how proud I am of you and how grateful I am to be a pastor at a church where I don't have to turn away two people who love each other because they happen to be gay. I actually think, and I've said this before, I actually think the seeds of that were planted many years ago in 1904 when our youth paid for a stained glass window in our new building in 1904 above the balcony that's named the Come Unto Me window, which shows Christ with his arms wide open welcoming everyone to come. And ever since 1904, every pastor who has preached in this pulpit has had a look at that window and see a Christ who says, "Come unto me, all of you, come unto me." And even when this church did not welcome black people into the congregation, a pastor had to look up there and see Christ saying, "Come unto me." There was a woman when I first came to this church, who was still alive and who I went to visit, she was a Caucasian woman and her wedding was not permitted to be held here because she was marrying an Asian man. And even when that wedding was not permitted here, the pastor had to stand up every Sunday in the pulpit and see looking directly at him, a Christ who says, come unto me. And then in 1940, when the congregation redesigned our sanctuary and they put a new carving of Christ up front, they mirrored the come unto me Christ above the balcony so that we have a Christ up front saying, come unto me. And you see in the engraving, there's everyone coming unto Christ in that engraving, from a person in chains to someone in a suit with a tie who I believe is a K Street lawyer. And I actually believe that the seeds of the wedding that I got to do yesterday, that the seeds of that wedding were planted in 1904 when those children and the people who designed that window had no idea of the seeds they were planting. And in 1940, when the folk who redesigned this sanctuary and put the come unto me Christ up front so that the congregation would have to look at him every Sunday, that they had no idea of the seeds that they were planting in this congregation, but which have since come to grow grain 50 and 100-fold that we experience in our life today and that I got to experience at the wedding yesterday. We're beginning a new campaign that we call Mission Possible. We've taken pretty good care of our sanctuary. The rest of our building, not so much. The rest of our building is old and tired and not very attractive and not very welcoming. It's actually confusing. It's hard to figure out until you've been here for months how to get anywhere in the other part of our building where AA groups meet and NA groups meet and our children are taught the Bible and we help people who need identification and clothing. And for longer than I've been here, for more than 10 years, there have been people who have been trying to figure out how we can make the rest of our building hospitable and inviting, a come unto me building that will work for us during the week as well as on Sundays. And people have done some amazing thinking and dreaming about how we might turn that place into open, functional, attractive, usable space. And I actually believe that just the way God was planting seeds for this congregation in that window in 1904 and in that carving in 1940, that in our plans for the rest of our building, that God is planting seeds that we're going to grow, that are going to grow and produce fruit that we can't imagine today. That there are seeds in this that 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now are going to bear grain, are going to bear fruit that we don't have the imagination to understand. What God is doing today through our planning to make the rest of our building hospitable and welcoming. Most of all, I want to just say today how grateful I am that you are the church that you are. We know that even good seed needs good soil to grow in. So ever since yesterday, I've been just so grateful for who you are and the decisions and risks that you have made and taken over the years that I've been here. And I believe that God now is working with us in ways that we can't understand yet, but that God is doing new things so that we can be a church where Christ always says, come unto me, whatever your need, whoever you are, come unto me. Today, remember people who have given themselves in mission and ministry to us, who have poured themselves into our lives. We remember people who have poured themselves into mission and ministry in this church, who have died and who are now in God's presence, and we ask that God, as God used them, might take our lives and use us. Even as we mourn, we are grateful.